During such a time as this, where every morning anxiety seems to be knocking at our door before the sun even rises, wanting to come inside and shelter in place with us, that we reach out for direction and guidance. It's why there is a wave of information coming from every single direction, recommendations and guidelines about what to do and what not to do. That even though this world is full of beauty and goodness, it can also feel scary and uncertain. And along with all of this very good knowledge, something inside of us also longs for steady and constant wisdom, which is found right there in front of us in our lived experience. That wisdom is less like a manual with step-by-step instructions and more like the compass that we hold in our hand that points us in a good direction. And wisdom is found in very simple places. In a conversation with a trusted friend. In our solitude and stillness as we pray, in all of the stories of our faith, that wisdom is everything that we have learned about God throughout our lives, and it is never certainty, as much as we would like it to be, that it is more like discernment. As Barbara Brown Taylor explains, wisdom is not gained by knowing what is right. Wisdom is gained by practicing what is right and noticing what happens when that practice succeeds and when it fails. That during a time such as this, we rely on everything that we have learned in the past while learning anew as we practice our faith, even now. During the gold rush of 1849, so many people were loading up and traveling west, headed to California, that in their dreams they saw a glimmer of gold. They wanted to strike it rich, to build a better future for themselves and their family. So they were moving out west, and so many were packing up and heading in this direction. You could notice on the ground the tracks of wagon wheels left there by those that had gone before you. There were even ruts down deep in the ground from the wagon wheels, from the sheer weight of all of those wagons. And it was a long trip to California. And as you loaded up and headed out of town in St. Joseph, Missouri, apparently there was a banner that hung across Main Street at the very edge of town where everyone would see it as they left. And it said, "Choose your rut carefully. You might be in it all the way to California." That wisdom is choosing carefully the patterns and practices that shape and guide our lives. That it might be the routine of prayer, the practice of worship, the gift of service, the reading of scripture. It might be the pattern of kindness, the offering of patience, the gift of generosity, the way of forgiveness. that those are the patterns and practices that help us make meaning out of our lives. It is, as Howard Thurman writes, I need wisdom, the quality that will be make clear to me the significance, the relatedness of things that are a part of my daily experience, that this I lack again and again. I need wisdom to cast a slow and steady radiance over all my landscape in order that things, choices, deeds may be seen in their true light, in the light of the eternal and the timeless. That wisdom is not found in easy answers, but it might be found in simple practices that help us make connections between our lives, this world, and the presence of God. When Paul took a trip to Athens, he discovered a very key aspect to wisdom. That when he arrived, he was found debating and arguing with several philosophers, Stoics, and Epicureans out there in the marketplace, which was not unusual for Paul, who was trained as a Pharisee. That long within Judaism, the teachers of the law would gather together to debate and discuss the most faithful way to live out our faith, that it was the pursuit of wisdom. And standing there debating these philosophers, they took him on a field trip to the Areopagus, a place to worship many gods. It was the political and religious epicenter of Athens, where civic and religious leaders would gather together to make important decisions or to honor various gods. And Paul was an outsider, trying to tell them about religion of which they were the authority. And they saw the divine inside the material. And their special knowledge of this made them wise and self-sufficient. But those two words, wise and self-sufficient, never belong to one another. Well, Paul could feel their skepticism. In fact, as Frank Stagg points out, they called him literally a seed picker, a babbler, someone who just picks up ideas and thoughts here and there like a bird just scavenging the ground. It meant he was uneducated and uninformed. But there in the Areopagus, he points to that idol labeled an unknown God. And Paul says, this is the God of all creation, in whom we live and move and have our being. It was an old Epicurean saying that wisdom is not found in self-sufficiency. It's found in the God of all creation, in whom we all depend. It is the backbone of why Jesus simply said, if you love me, you will follow my commandments. It was not meant to be heard as a simple answer to complicated situations, but rather a simple practice, where simple does not mean easy. That the practices of prayer, service, worship, reading scripture, the patterns of kindness, patience, generosity and forgiveness are far from easy. But they can lead us to wisdom. The only problem with wisdom is when we assume that we have it, that wisdom can work against itself. It is like the writer who says, it's like going in and seeing the eye doctor and saying, I really don't need all of your knowledge and experience. The problem is the world is blurry. Not that I have poor eyesight. That the one enemy of wisdom is success. That success can create blind spots. In the research of Paul Sibley and Alistair Walker, they noticed that about every 30 years, without any warning, that after a major bridge was built, that it would collapse. And in looking at this terrible tragedy, trying to figure out what happened, because the engineers and the construction workers built the bridge to specifications without veering from the instructions, and yet something went wrong. And in trying to explain this terrible phenomenon where every 30 years this type of tragedy would happen, they determined that the engineers did not account for change. That about a generation after a new model was developed for building a bridge, they stopped questioning the new model. That they simply blindly followed the plans without ever questioning its weak points. That success can create blind spots. That perhaps the deterrent to wisdom is our vulnerability. To face the change around us. That success and self-sufficiency feel pretty good. But vulnerability can scare us. And perhaps we have all felt again in recent days our vulnerability. Because if nothing else, it feels like we are walking over a threshold of change where we're not sure what we can rely on or what it is going to hold us up. And doors, thresholds, have always signified change. Whether that's walking through one door, going from one room to another in our house where we can leave the den and walk into the study, and all of a sudden, we are that much more focused. Or we leave the study, and we walk out the back door, out into the back deck, and all of a sudden, we are better relaxed, and we can lounge. Or perhaps it's walking over a threshold for the first time, moving into a new house, starting a brand new season of our lives, or perhaps carrying those last items in a box over a threshold as we leave home for the first time, or we move out facing an unknown destination. That doors have always signified change. And every week, as we leave the refuge of this room, as we walk out of this sanctuary, we leave these doors out into the world. And quite fitting, the main doors of the sanctuary through which we walk, that over it we find the creation window, that our faith has always led us out to engage this world or to respond to it. That as vulnerable as we might feel, we can hold close the patterns and practices of our faith. That these doors remind us that our faith has always led us through doors in the past. And that in it, we find hope for creation and direction for our lives. So let us choose those practices carefully as they shape and direct our lives. And we continue to give thanks as these doors remind us that none of us have to do this alone. Amen.